good evening again, everyone. This is part 7 of the series of Psalms. You'll be glad to know, well, for me at least, it's the last part. And tonight I want to look at the theme of praise. Originally this was scheduled for Palm Sunday a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a particular follower of the church calendar, but I thought it was nice in a way that it would have dovetailed together the idea of welcoming the Lord into Jerusalem as they did on Palm, of what we call Palm Sunday, and this idea of praise. And again, as I sort of started to look at this particular theme within the Psalms, you start by sort of picking a few verses and thinking, well, not quite sure whether it's going to be enough for a talk. And then you get carried away. And in the end, you have to be extremely selective. And so that's what I will have to be this evening. And there will be a lot of things that I won't cover, but I hope that through what we do to look at tonight, it will be an encouragement, and I'm trusting that the Lord will use it to speak to us and to instruct us in this wonderful theme of praise. It's a big theme. In the King James Version, at least, the word praise or derivatives of it occur more than 170 times in the Psalms alone. So we're not going to look at everyone, so don't worry. But as I was looking at it, and I was using Young's Concordance for this, in the Hebrew there are at least 6 words for praise, which is interesting. And just to mention them, I won't get the pronunciation perfectly right, but the 6 that I want to look at this evening, first one is one called Todah. If you know Hebrew, Todah Rabbah means thank you very much. So Todah literally means thanks, thanksgiving. The next one is a word called Tehillah, which is more of a noun meaning praise. The third one, Yidah, is an interesting one. It means literally to stretch out the hand. So that can be taken in 2 ways. One is to lift up the hands to praise, but also to stretch out the hands to reach unto God. The fourth one, Shabak, is to glorify. Fifth one, Zamar, means to sing. And we'll look at that as well. And then the final one I want to look at, which is the most common word used in the Psalms, is halal, which means to praise or to boast, to extol, to exalt, to magnify, to boast in the Lord. So let's look at some of these verses. And I want to talk to develop a theme, which I hope will come through, of praise particularly in the house of God, and how praise works in God's house and among God's people. So first, let's look into Psalm 42. And this is the word Todah, which means thanksgiving. Psalm 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. And you may have it in your version. I went to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving. And what a wonderful thing it is to enter God's house, to come with a thankful, grateful heart. You know, we sing that chorus, and we give thanks with a grateful heart. And trouble with singing some choruses is that we can get very familiar with them. But the truth is there. We are to be a thankful people. And take time to consider giving thanks and enter God's house with thanksgiving. That's another psalm we're going to look at in a moment as well. And whoever offers praise or offers thanksgiving, they glorify the Lord. And if you think about that, whenever we're thankful, especially to God, for who He is and what He's done, you're actually taking a step towards glorifying Him. It may be a small step, it may be quite small in the eyes of others, but God takes note of it. He loves it. It glorifies Him. So come with a grateful heart. And you'll notice here that it says, I went with the multitude to the house of God, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Now that can refer to any day, but obviously Sunday is a day which is convenient for us and this generation to meet together, to come with a group of God's people, whether it's two or three or whether it's 100 or 1,000. There is something wonderful about coming together and offering praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Right, let's go into the second word for praise, which is Tehillah. And we'll see this in Psalm 9. And verse 13 and 14. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death. Now here's the situation he's in. And he's crying out for mercy. And he's suffered trouble from those who hate. And he feels that he is at the very gates of death. But God has come in and lifted him up. Why? Verse 14. That I may show forth all your praise. The whole spectrum of praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. And if you are saved, and if you've experienced something of the salvation of God, you are to show forth and declare the praises of Him who have lifted you up from the gates of death. This is what God has done. And our response is to declare it, to announce it, to herald it, to show forth God's praise. We'll see a little bit more of that later on. Because there is something about praise which God wants to use it to echo around. You know, as you stand on a mountaintop, or in a cave, but I was thinking more perhaps of a mountaintop, perhaps a cave isn't quite so appropriate. But think of being on a mountaintop. And as you shout, that sound echoes. And when we praise God for what He has done for us, it is to echo. It is not to sort of hit the ceiling and fall flat, never to be heard of again. There is something that should echo around and, if you like, spill over and be heard way beyond the confines of a local church. There's something very powerful in praise. Very powerful indeed. And praise can be misunderstood, I suppose, because there's a sense in which praise can be very glib and trivial. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I remember when I was at university, I was a young Christian, and someone handed me a book, and I won't mention the title, but it was about praise. And as a young Christian, I looked to this, I read it, I devoured it, and I thought, this is the answer. You know, this is the answer to every prayer. All I've got to do is praise God in every situation, and the answer will automatically come. And even as I thought that, there was a sort of slight hollowness in my thinking, but I thought, well, I'm going to persevere anyway. And I began to praise God for everything and anything, which of course is right. But if you're using it as a method and as a sort of key to get God to persuade God to do what you want, what am I trying to say? To make God do what you want him to do, then it's wrong. You're manipulating. And praise is not meant to be like that. And you'll be glad to know that after a couple of weeks of doing this with all my heart and strength, I dropped it shortly after. But nevertheless, praise is a good thing to do when it's done right. Not when it's done sort of trivially or trying to trick God into doing something that he doesn't really want to do. But notice where this praise occurs. In the gates of the daughter of Zion. If you look over into Psalm 22, you'll see this same word to healer. Coming out, this we've looked at this psalm before when we considered the theme of suffering. But in verse 3, you are holy, O you who inhabit the praises of Israel. So God inhabits the praises of his people. And then you'll notice that in verse 22, I declare your name unto your brethren in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And then particularly in verse 25, my praise shall be of you in the great congregation. So there's something about the praise of God that is to be demonstrated within the congregation, within the assembly of God's people. Do we do it? Do I do it? Do we do it enough? Well, I suppose none of us can say we do it enough. But God wants it in the congregation. And you notice it says, the great congregation. There's something about praise which excites people's hearts. Moves them, lifts them from drudgery or feeling a bit kind of dreary or perhaps depressed. It ignites, and it also involves the great congregation. Like it or not, there are angels present here tonight. They are witnesses, they are watching. When the Lord's birth was announced, they broke out in spontaneous praise. And I think when God's people gather together and when there's birth in the midst, there is praise and the angels rejoice and the witnesses, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews tells us. These people somehow join together. We can't see them, we can't fully understand it, but they're there. And it all goes to one great aim of praising, worshipping and exalting our God, who has done immeasurable things beyond which we can think of or comprehend. We can't measure them. We need to come into an understanding of what God has done and let these things enlarge and fill our hearts, that we do not just tread a little routine path, but let God expand, enlarge and just fill our minds with great things. And as he does in the great congregation, our hearts will rise in praise. I've written quite a number of scriptures and I can see already that I'm not going to get through them all. Psalm 48. Again, these scriptures I've written down, I've had to sort of pare down, reduce, because they were too many. But which ones do you leave out? It's difficult. Psalm 48, verse 10. We talked about praise in the congregation. According to your name, O God, so is your praise unto the ends of the earth. And of course, God wants the whole earth to be filled with the praise. And notice it says to the ends of the earth. There is no corner, no area that God's praise does not want to reach. He wants it to cover everything, to reach every nook and every cranny. 66. And again, this shows the sort of responsibility and the, if you like, the job or the work of the church. Psalm 66, verse 8. O bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Now, that's not just talking about amplification. I'm certainly not suggesting we bring in sort of 400 megawatt speakers and blast the neighbourhood. But what God wants is that sincere praise to rise in our hearts, that it will somehow tune into the frequency of heaven and be heard. It'll be heard within by principalities and powers, things that rule and reign in the earth. And we'll see later on that they tremble when God's people praise. When God's people praise him, these things, they tremble at the sound of the praise. So let his praise be heard. And as we read in the previous psalm we looked at, even unto the ends of the earth. Following the theme of making his praise heard, Psalm 79 is to be heard geographically, but is also to be heard generationally. Verse 13. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. So the generation that succeeds us, they should hear it. They should know it. They'll have to discover it for themselves. But they will need us, to some extent, to show them the way. Is your heart a praising heart? Because how you are will show itself to the next generation. If you're miserable and always moaning, you will show that. But if there's something to praise God for, that'll be an unconscious lesson that you are teaching the next generation. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Psalm 100. Believe me, I am being selective. Enter, this is verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. And it's one of the ways whereby we do enter into the presence of the Lord, is by praising him. As I said earlier, it somehow ignites and excites, and it moves you. And it also brings faith. When you hear someone sincerely praising God, it will encourage your heart to not sort of stay where you are, but to move in into the presence of God, to enter his courts with praise. Sometimes you can sit on a Sunday and you think, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to keep quiet and see what happens. But on occasions that may be right. But you think, well, why should I sit there with my mouth shut and my heart closed? We're gathered together as God's people. We are to exalt him. Open our mouths, open our hearts, so that we might enter in to his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving. God has given us a mouth. He expects us to use it. That's in Psalm 145. May my mouth be used for your praise. Let's look at the next word for praise, which is yidah, which, remember, is to stretch out the hand. So there's that idea of reaching out to God, lifting your hands to praise him, but also that idea of reaching out to God. In Psalm 9, verse 1, it says, I praise you with the whole heart. praise must be wholehearted. There mustn't be any kind of division or half-heartedness. It's to be with the whole heart. And as we praise, there is that sense of reaching out to God. So if you are feeling like you don't want to praise, by exercising your will and engaging your whole heart in this activity and exercise, you find yourself moved and carried along. Let me try and explain from this psalm, Psalm 42. Is it Psalm 42? Yes. Yeah, we looked at this one earlier, didn't we? Did we? No, it's another psalm. Beg your pardon. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Well, you could say, Lord, there are plenty of reasons. I've just been cheated out of my credit in the previous mobile phone user. And despite many emails, they said our terms and conditions state this. And I almost feel like saying, I'm not going to, but I almost feel like saying, you are licensed thieves. But the thing is, there are plenty of reasons to be cast down. Not just financially, but other things too. News hits us. News of the world, but also more personal news, family news, news from a friend, things that people may have said or should have said but didn't. There are plenty of reasons to be cast down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why is there disturbance? Why are we not settled? Why are things going on in our minds which are making us fret and worry and be out of sorts, out of kilter? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There is that idea, this thought of praise is stretching out to God. Despite all that is going on, despite the disquietude in your heart and the things that are troubling you, praise will shift the focus. It will turn the eyesight off from yourself and onto him. And when you start to gaze on his countenance, his face, then you feel yourself lifted up. That's something we are to do. And sometimes it takes effort. Only effort in as much as you've got to think, I am not going to sit under this cloud any longer. I am not going to let the dark clouds rule my life and bring me down. For they do cast down. But in our soul, we are to reach out to God. That wonderful hymn, number 5 in the Red Book, I think. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And I'd like to ask a question. What do you do with your soul? Do you allow it to be cast down? Sometimes it will be cast down because our souls are subject to things. Our spirits are fixed if we're born again of God, but our souls can be subject to things. And we are to use our souls to praise him. Verse 11 of the same psalm. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Other gods there are many, but he is our God, and we are to praise him. Psalm 139. Talking about the soul and the way that we are made. Here we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. No matter how great a psychologist we may think we are, we never fully understand the soul and how we're put together. But God knows. He's put us together, not just physically and physiologically, biologically, genetically, biochemically, but also psychologically. He knows how He's put us together. He knows what we're subject to. But we will praise Him. We will praise Him. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And in Psalm 142 is another reason for praise. And this again is still under the theme of stretching out to God. Bring my soul, verse 7, out of prison, that I may praise Your name. Don't let your soul be imprisoned by the circumstances that which would seek to imprison you. But bring my soul out of prison so that I may praise Your wonderful name. There is something liberating about praise. As I said earlier on, praise can be powerful. It liberates. It breaks chains. It unlocks things. It brings people out. And this is the kingdom of God. You know, God wants to bring us into His glorious kingdom where there's praise from beginning to end. And as a church and as God's people, we are to be a part of this. Bring my soul out of prison. For what reason? That I might praise Your name. Lord, thank You that You have delivered and saved me from a multitude of prisons. Prisons of depression, prisons of mental thought processes, prisons of addiction, prisons of all kinds of things. He brings us out. Praise His wonderful and glorious name. Amen and amen. Praise is to not be gleefully false, but real, based on reality of what God has done in Christ, through and for us. Shabbat, to glorify. Psalm 145. Verse 12. To make known to the sons of men His mighty act and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Again, this idea of verse 12. I've got this wrong, haven't I? One generation. Got the wrong verse there. Beg your pardon. To make known the sons of men His mighty acts. There is a verse 13. Thank you. I was going to say, there is a verse somewhere. It's in the book of Psalms. And it's in this psalm. And it's verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. One generation. Oh, yeah, thank you. That's the one I wanted. I knew it was there somewhere. Why did I write verse 12? All your works shall praise You, and your saints shall bless you. Still not exactly the verse I wanted, but never mind. The idea is to glorify the Lord. And when you look at the last five and six psalms of the whole Psalter, praise is a repetitive theme. Don't know why I wrote that wrong. Beg your pardon. But there is that sense of declaring God's praise from one generation to another. Making known. Thank you. Shall praise Your works. Why did I write verse 12? I have no idea. Shall praise Your name and shall declare Your mighty acts. Now, here's the thing. You want to declare God's mighty acts. You want people to know. You want your own children to know. What is one of the ways which they know? Praise is a tool of evangelism. Have you ever thought of that? I only thought of that when I was looking at this again this afternoon. It can be a mighty evangelistic tool in the hands of God. Just by praising Him for His mighty acts. Making known His works from one generation to another. Hallelujah. Just by praising God together as His people on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or any other time when God's people are meeting together, you are declaring something to the heavens. And the heavens are hearing and taking note. One generation, us, will praise your mighty works to another, someone else. And we'll declare your mighty acts. Do we declare God's mighty acts? Are they happening in our lives? Or is it something that sort of happens once every 25 years? I'm not saying that we should sort of see something miraculous and spectacular every day. But there's got to be that heart attitude of praising him for his goodness. Psalm 119 says, I will praise you 7 times a day. Do you do that? Do I do it? It's a challenge. And we are by doing it, we will encourage others, and especially the generation that comes up after us, to do the same. Let's look at the next one, Zamar, to sing. Now here's a great thing, and I hope I've got these ones right. Psalm 9, back to Psalm 9 again. Psalm 9 is an amazing psalm. It talks about judgment, but it also talks about praise as God sets things right which were wrong. And this thought of Zamar, to sing, is something that we can do. Many of us can sing. And to sing is a wonderful thing. It's a great gift from God to sing. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. We are so fortunate in having such a legacy of hymns. We've got 3 books here, green, a red and a blue. And we are so fortunate to have them. I'm glad Dave chose that one, number one in the red, where we sang earlier. Read the words. Read the words of the blue book. Read the words of good choruses. And sing them. Sing them with all the heart. And what will happen when you sing? You'll declare among the people the doings of the Lord. Psalm 27. Verse 6. And now my head be lifted up above my enemies round about you. Do you want that? For your head to be lifted up above your enemies which surround. There are plenty of enemies against God's people. And they will want to bring you down. But God will lift your head above them. And I will offer in his tabernacle, listen to the words, in the place where God is, sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. How many of you have a CD or a USB that you plug into your car and you sing as you drive, or you sing as you work, as you're pulling out ivy from someone's garden? You can sing. I will sing praises to the Lord. Psalm 47, just in case we're not getting the message. Psalm 47 verse 6. I think he has something to say about it in this verse. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. I think he's trying to tell us something, isn't he? And just in case we didn't quite get it, verse 7, God is the King of all the earth. Sing you his praises. And notice what it says at the end of that verse. With understanding. Sing relevant things. Don't sing imaginary things. Sing biblical things. I'll try not to get on a little hobby horse of mine, but some choruses I think, what does that mean? But we are to sing with understanding. Sing real things. Sing things that mean something. Sing about Him as the King. Sing about His blood, His sacrifice, His resurrection, His ascension, His exaltation, all His mighty works, His birth, His teachings. The types and figures of the Old Testament, all fulfilled in the New in Christ. Sing praises. Sing to our God of redemption, of salvation, of deliverance. Sing to God about all these wonderful, glorious things. There is no limit once we start our minds thinking on these things. And it'll get going. Read the scriptures. Read Psalms. Read other parts. Read Revelation about God's triumph in the final days. Sing with understanding and let these things fill our hearts so that all the time we will sing unto the Lord. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O my God, my heart is fixed. Our hearts can be so wavering at times, as we saw earlier. Why are you cast down, O my soul? But here his heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. When we gather together, we are to come with that sort of attitude, that disposition, that we were not sort of coming in with our hands hanging down and our knees feeble and weak and not being able to lift ourselves up. Come with singing and with praise. Enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 104, verse 33. We're getting near the end. We're nearer than when we started. Psalm 104, verse 33. Of course, this is a chorus which has been sung for quite a few decades now. But think about the words. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Well, I don't feel like singing. Well, you may not. But sing anyway. Your moods will pass. And let every day be a day where you can sing at least once to the Lord. For as a Christian, I used to sing all kinds of rock songs. I had a huge record collection. The old vinyl records, if you're interested. It was worth quite a bit of money. But I don't want to sing those. One person I used to listen to a lot, when you actually read his lyrics, they made you at the end feel so utterly depressed. And you think, why am I singing this? Why do I pay good money to listen to him sing in a concert when I can sing for free the praises of God? I will sing as long as I live. I'm glad I came to know the Lord when I was 19. And hopefully I've got a few more years in which to sing. 40, 50 years, what better employment than to sing his praises? Get used to it. There'll be plenty of singing in heaven. And it will go on there for all eternity. Not just for a lifetime. When are we to sing? Psalm 138. Verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. And this is where praise can be powerful. Before the gods, small g, I will sing praise unto you. You think of areas in the earth which are ruled by gods, by principalities and powers. Even areas in this country, inner cities, red light districts, but think further afield into nations that are ruled by Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and not just other religions, but things that control people's minds. Mammon, which is a strong god in this country. And they may seem powerful, and they may seem overwhelming, and there may seem no way through. But here he says, before those gods, I will sing praise to you. Before the gods of injustice and unfairness, before the gods of slander, before the gods of people saying unpleasant and unkind things, before the gods of things like poverty and destitution and all kinds of things where people and children and orphans and widows are treated abominably because people are gaining advantage and they're under the jurisdiction of gods. And you think of gods of witchcraft in Africa where whole villages are under their sway, and they can appear overwhelming as you hear the drums beat in the night. Before those gods, I will sing. I will sing praises to him who is above every other god. And his name is above every other name. 144 verse 9. I will sing a new song unto you, O God. As I said a moment ago, I used to sing old songs which didn't do me a lot of good. But when we're born again of God's Spirit, he puts a new song in our hearts, which we are to sing with gusto. Sing without shame or embarrassment. Let your neighbours over the fence hear you singing as you do the garden, or as you vac and hoover the stairs. They may not hear you above the machine, but sing anyway. Sing to the Lord a new song. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings I will sing unto you. I don't think this necessarily means a 10-string guitar, but it might do. But the thing is, we are to use instruments, but we're not dependent upon them. Because God has given us a voice to sing to him. When we were in Malawi, they used to have 2-stringed and 3-stringed guitars, homemade, wonderful things. And people used to sing, stamp with their feet, clap with their hands, and sing to the Lord with all their hearts. Right. Let's try and go through this. Oh. Try and choose Psalm 74 verse 21. Let not the oppressed ashamed, let the poor and needy praise your name. They may have no money to buy expensive musical instruments and expensive sound systems, but they can still praise your name. Psalm 84 verse 4. Blessed are they who dwell in your house. Again, the theme of being in God's place, God's church. They will still be praising you. Psalm 107 verse 32. And as a fellow elder, let him exalt also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And I don't think that just means elders of the local church, but it just means mature people. And we are mature here, and we thank God for that. But let us not think that we are somehow too mature to not praise the Lord in a simple and childlike way. Not childish, but in a simple childlike way. Praise him in the assembly of the elders. The elders are going to be, they gather around the throne. We read that in Revelation chapter 4. And what are they doing? They're bowing down, worshipping and praising him who is seated upon the throne. Psalm 109 verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. I will praise him among the multitude. Psalm 119, I've already referred to this one, but this is the verse if you want it. Verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise you. Why? Because of your righteous judgments. And it may not seem that judgments are going very right for you at times, but ultimately God is doing righteousness. He is doing righteously. He is the God of all the earth, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And for that reason, we can praise him at least 7 times a day. Psalm 148. Let the whole earth praise the Lord. Verses 1 to 5. Praise you the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. This is in the amphitheatre of creation, if you like. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun, moon, and praise him, all ye stars of light. You're getting a sense of the whole creation joining in this, the whole universe celebrating one marvellous theme, and that is to praise the Lord. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded them, and they were created, and for his good pleasure, in Revelation chapter 5, they were and are created to sing praise to him. What a wonderful, wonderful theme this praise is. I'd like us to stand and to praise the Lord, to just let our hearts rejoice in him. Some quick examples of praise. Jehoshaphat, the armies of Moab and Ammon surrounded them. They thought he was going to be defeated, and he went out with what? Weapons of warfare? No. They went out with musical instruments and praised the Lord. They heard the word of God. They stood and they believed and they praised. And as they sang, God routed the enemy. Paul and Silas in prison, midnight, strong chains around their feet in the innermost dungeon. They sang praises to God. And what did God do? He sent an earthquake. And finally, in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13 and 14, there was praise in the temple. And as they praised in the temple, they could not stand there. They had to withdraw. Why? Because the glory of God filled the house. It was overwhelming. Hallelujah. We are seeing in this generation God's small g that appear overwhelming. But I want to declare tonight, and by the praises of him, that his glory is greater and more overwhelming than all those other gods. So let's stand and sing.